If you would take up your Bible, please, and turn to Galatians 5. Did not notice it's going to be a part of the sermonette, but here it is. I'm going to turn to Galatians 5, verses 19 through 24. As we go through this list, and I know all of you have read this before, I'd like you to think of something here. If you've ever done bookkeeping or heard of T accounts, you know what a T account is? Well, a T account in bookkeeping is a ledger document. It's like a T. And at the top of the account, it tells you what particular account you're working with. Then onto the left of that center line is a debit. And to the right of that center line is a credit line. I want you to think as we go through this, keep that in mind because you'll see what I mean in a moment. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit, now that's the left side, that's the debit side, that's not the good side. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. On that right side, this is what we consider good. Now, got a question. Why is long-suffering considered good? You ever thought about that? It's on the right side of the ledger. It's on the credit side of the ledger. Suffering long is good? I think suffering long probably isn't. Now, we heard in the sermon that about 1995, and those who were in the Worldwide Church of God are still suffering long from the effects of 1995 and thereafter. So is that good? Well, today, I'm going to show to you and prove that long-suffering is good. It's on the right side of the ledger, and there's an excellent reason why. I want to start off last week, give a sermonette on an advocacy. And in that sermonette, I read a book, quoted from a book by Alan Dershowitz, who is a defense lawyer. And he was a defense lawyer in the O.J. Simpson murder trial, which is considered one of the greatest jury trials of the century, if not forever. Mr. Dershowitz, in this book, and some of his writing is very faint, I don't know if I can read it that well, is going to be, and does right now, suffer long suffering because of his participation in the trial as a defense lawyer. And pages 14 and 15, he talks about letters that he received as a consequence of the trial, and they're not nice, and I'm not going to read them. Later on, in the back of the book, where it talks about acknowledgments, this is after page 224, 225, He talks about the phone calls that came into his office to the people who were helping him to do the paperwork and some of the nasty messages that were said to his people because of his involvement in this case, and he was doing his job. He was hired to be a lawyer to help in this case, and he did. That's what he's hired for. Had he not done it, he could have been brought up on charges and lost his license. I want to say something what he says here at the end, so you'll see why he is going to have long suffering on this case for the rest of his life. He says, "The time has come to take a step back from the glaring lights and radiating heat and most publicized and controversial criminal trial in modern history, to look at the larger picture of justice in America, to reflect on its many positive attributes, and to consider carefully and the changes that would improve the efficiency of the system." So he's talking, well, and why is that important to him? He goes on, because he is a professor of law at Harvard University. And he's going to use this case, according to him, this is on, you'll find on page 206 and 207. He will be using this in his classroom as teaching new lawyers about the justice system in the United States. And every time he gets ready to talk about that, he's got to remember these negative effects that he heard from other people and what his staff heard, and that's got to be long-suffering. But what he did was right. Now, whether O.J. did that murder or not, we don't know. Some people say yes, some people say no, and I'm not here to argue that one way or the other. I will tell you this, that God said there's nothing done in the dark that shall not be revealed. And at some point in time, he's going to reveal it. So, and don't worry about that. So long-suffering. I want us to turn now to turning your Bible to Exodus chapter 34. We'll see where it first is mentioned in the Bible. Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 9, but we really want to concentrate on verse 6. This is when the new tablets have been made. God had told Moses to go up and cut out new tablets, and this time Moses is going to write the commandments on the tablets. The first tablets were destroyed. You find that back in Exodus 31, I believe. And so God is talking to Moses about that. Let's pick up the story. And start in verse 6. Verse 5. "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there," Moses, "and proclaimed the name of the Lord," and, verse 6, "and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting iniquities on the fathers upon the children," and the rest of those iniquities we see here in a few minutes. So the Lord, and the Lord is Jesus Christ, also had long suffering. Well, we'll notice that his long-suffering is surrounded by goodness, truth, mercy, forgiveness of sin and those who have transgressed sin. So long-suffering is in, quote-unquote, good neighborhood. Let's see this in action. Let's turn now to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want to read through this. And we have a concentration a little further down. But you want to write down in your notes, Numbers 14, 1 through 34. Verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Have you ever had problems so difficult that sometimes you wonder, why am I in this church? Why? Things are going, they're tough. So why am I in this church? Do you think that? Sometimes we do, because things can get pretty tough at times. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Why do I have to go to school and talk to the teachers about my children not keeping Halloween? Or at Valentine's Day, not making Valentine's hearts? Or when I'm at work, why do I have to not participate in it? Wouldn't it be better if I just go ahead and participate in this and don't do it? We have that experience. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's what happened in 95, as the gentleman was saying there in the sermonette. Someone decided, Worldwide Church of God isn't this or isn't that, so let us go back to our Christianity. Go to church on a Sunday. Keep Christmas, keep Easter. Keep Valentine's Day, all that stuff. I don't have to be bothered with this other stuff that's not popular. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Joshua, who were among those who had spied the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Now those who had the privilege or ever had the privilege of going to any Ambassador College campus, be it whether in Pasadena, Big Sandy, Texas, or in England, you could probably say the same thing. They were beautiful. They're well taken care of. How did it happen that way? By obeying God. But people want to follow the world, and like here, they wanted to go back. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. He said, look, don't worry about those folks out there. The Lord will take care of them for us. If we believe in God and his law and his way, we don't care about the popular days that this world keeps. Because even though it may be tough at times, God's going to take care of us. And by the way, let me just say this, because when I started working in the sermon, I had no idea to make these comments I just made. Had no idea, no way whatsoever to know that the sermonette that was given was going to be given. I really didn't know that until I got here this morning. But these things are part of me, so I'm saying it because I know it is what God would say. He has his people. We are his people. And we are long-suffering. We'll see some more as we go along. Verse 10. And all the congregation said, took up stones to stone Moses. Step on down verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe with all the signs which I have performed among them? Oh boy. Let me just say one thing. There are a lot of things I could say, but was God with the Worldwide Church of God? Was he? Did God perform any miracles for the Worldwide Church of God? When Mr. Armstrong began this work, he started by hanging out signs on people's doors in order to get people to come to services. He had no ministry. He had no congregation. From that beginning around 1937-39 to about 1980-82, where there were none, you went to a work that was around the world on radio and sometimes on satellite. Feast site, when he first started the feast, the only people who kept the seats for the first 7 years were he and his wife. By the time 1985-86 rolled around, we had over 220,000 people keeping the feast and about 99,000 members. And it was worldwide. The first telecast to go around the world was from Ambassador College in Pasadena. It was not from NBC, ABC, CBS, or any of the others. So was God involved? I had not planned on saying, but I got to say one more thing, because I'll tell you, what I saw, God was deeply involved. We used to print up our own magazine. Our old press went bad. It couldn't do it anymore. So he ordered a new press from Switzerland. I was there when he came in. That press alone was probably twice the height of this building. The paper for that press, you just said last week, we talked about how we're praying for the right kind of paper for Beyond Today magazine, the plain thing for the plain truth. The paper for that press was made in Canada. Why? Because we had to have paper that was good enough to take print and take color without bleeding through. Had to have it. So we made, by going through paper making companies, we made our own paper. It was called Ambassador Paper. God did that. I was there one day when they brought in a roll of this paper from Canada. It was on a flatbed truck. Want to find out what a flatbed is? Talk to Joe up here. He can tell you what it is. Probably about 40, 42 feet long. The roll of that paper took up probably about 80% of that truck bed. That's how big it was. It was probably 6 to 7 feet tall. I'm sure I couldn't measure it. It went on our new press. I want to tell you about the new press that we got in from Switzerland. When that press came in, everyone, and including our press people, decided, well, you know, it's going to take about 6 months for us to get all the kinks out of this thing to get it rolling, like do what we wanted to do. That press, once it was up and running, could print out 7 million magazines a week. You hear me? Not a month, not a year, a week. That's how fast that press was. We knew that it could get up to 77 million magazines if we needed it. Now, when that press came in, and they waited to get the kinks worked out of it so they could print the magazine, it was ready in 30 days. That's right. ready in 30 days and began to print. And not only printed out magazines, we put out 7 million magazines a month, we also put it out in 7 different languages. Newsweek, Time Magazine came to see what in the world were we doing. How can you do this and send us around the world? Well, we got a God that blesses us to do that. That's how come. So I just want to tell you, God was deeply involved. And those people who turned around and walked away from that, maybe they didn't see all of that. There are many other things I could talk about, the computer and all this kind of stuff we created that made all kinds of things. But the thing with it is, God was involved, just like he's involved here. And I did not intend to say this, but I'm saying it now. Sorry about that for you people. But I'm not apologizing for what God did through the Worldwide Church of God. That magazine went out to 130 different countries for more than 5 to 10 years. You heard me. 130 different countries. Not 4 or 5, not 6 or 7. Oh, yes, it did. In 7 different languages. God was involved. Deeply, deeply, deeply involved. And that work was successful. It did what he said, preach the gospel to all the world as a witness. And that happened twice. I won't go into all that. But anyway, sorry about that. In one way I'm not. Continuing on here in Numbers 14, he tells Moses, step aside. I will strike them with pestilence and with and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians were here, for by your might you brought these people out from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, Lord, among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame, will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. 1995, the Lord was not able to stop the corruption that went on under Grace Community International leadership in the Worldwide Church of God. Tell me, God wasn't able to do that? He couldn't stop it if he wanted to? If he allowed it to go on, that's the question we need to be asked. Why? And I think we see the answer right now. All the so-called spinoffs, many of those, and Mr. McCoy said this last week, a week before last, many of those people in other congregation, Sabbath keepers, following that which was taught by them from Ambassador College, either in Pasadena, Big Sandy, and England, are in smaller groups scattered around this world. What does that mean? I don't know what that means right now. But I know there are a lot of groups out there that are doing exactly what we're doing, printing magazines, telling the truth, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, doing all of those things, preaching as best they can, with what little money they have or don't have. Yes, they are. And God is just as much with them as he is with us. And no way am I telling you to go look for these groups to be a part of them. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God is with us. But he allowed it to happen for a reason. We may not know now. One day we will. Now, and now, Moses going on, and now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation. Who? So long-suffering has to do with mercy, forgiving iniquity, forgiving transgressions. And that's all good. That we saw in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at the New Testament and see how this is continued on. God is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Well, this is from International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The word in the New Testament rendered long-suffering is maronthathuma. Let me just spell that for you because I am not Hebrew or Greek. M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. And M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-E-O. One is a noun, the other is an adjective, I believe. And that is in the Greek, in Strong's Greek, is number 3115. It says, to be long-suffering, which is rendering of Erech, applying in the Septuagint Bible, is literally long of mind or soul. So long of mind, what's going on in the mind, or soul. Regarded as a seat of the emotions, the soul is, but that's really just the body. Opposed to shortness of mind or soul. That's the left side of the T. The right side is regards of mind. So, see the, okay, shortness of mind, or soul. Irascibility, that's on the left side. Impatience, that's on the left side. Intolerance, that's on the left side. It is attributed to God. We want in Romans, we'll see, read some scriptures here in a moment to show that long suffering is attributed to God. Let's see. Let me go there. One of those scriptures is Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to go through a bunch of these now, so if you just want to write them down, that'll be fine. But these are attributed to God, long-suffering. Also, that long-suffering has to do with also naturally patience. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to what we've all done, repentance. Goodness of God, God's mercy, God's kindness leads to repentance. That's positive. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? If God did not want to endure long suffering, brethren, we wouldn't be here. He would have destroyed man long time ago because of sin. Do you think, and I know you don't think this, that God enjoys what's going on in Ukraine, both with Russia and the Ukrainians? Do you think so? Self-control. This is not a political statement. This is from Joe Wright. It may not be from the church. There is a political leader running for office, heard it this week, running for office on the platform, you ready for this? Of abortion in the ninth month. That's his public platform. Aborting a baby in the ninth month. You think God is happy about that? God who created man because he wants children in his family? No. So God right now is long-suffering, but he's going to take care of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. That's what God is like. Galatians 5:22, we just read that. We'll go back to that in a moment. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4 starts with long suffering within the family of God, forbearing one another. That's what it's talking about. Within the family of God. Within God's church. Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Whose glorious power? God's, the Lord's glorious power. Unto all patience, and the word patience there the same, and long-suffering are similar. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Joy. So long-suffering has to do with bringing joyfulness. Those who are part of the body of Christ, who are being converted, called and converted, we're joyful about that. They're happy about it. Yeah, we have problems, no doubt about that. Difficult times, no doubt about that. But we also know what the end is. And when that end comes, we're going to be there for a special reason. It's gone. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, who's that? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. See that list of things there? That's what we're to put on. That's on the right side of the ledger. That's on the credit side, not on the debit side. And we're to put on these things. Mercies, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause, obtain mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ reign, might show forth all long-suffering inside of us. So what it's saying, howbeit for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me, not outside of me, not over there, but in me, first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering in me for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Who hereafter? In the kingdom of God, those people be resurrected. they'll be resurrected in the white throne, resurrected. But in the kingdom of God, the people who will last enter the kingdom will be there to help them to understand how, if they repent and obey God, that this long suffering that God's been waiting for, it will be in them. For patient, for a pattern, excuse me, to them which should thereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That's eternal life, brethren. Long suffering is tied to eternal life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Paul is saying this to Timothy, the new young minister. Manner of life, my purpose, faith, long suffering. So Paul knew that he too, that long suffering was a positive part of life. Long suffering, charity, patience. Charity, of course, is talking about love. Read that in 1 Corinthians 13, that wonderful book. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. And Paul is saying to young Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Many of us who decided that those who decided to go outside of the body of Christ in 1995, even before then, said, no, we exhorted some of them not to. They did it anyway. We talked about the doctrines of the church. Some of them denied it. They still do. For whatever, I still have friends who are part of Grace Community International and other groups. I have friends who have gone back to the Baptist Church. Some gone Methodist. I know one person, whether he did it or not, married, and this is nothing personal, a Catholic lady, so he may be going to the Catholic Church. I know some who gone back to Judaism. And all of these, we talked to about the doctrines, but they decided to go anyway. I didn't write this down, but I believe it's in 1 John 2:19. And you might want to put this in your memory. I'm trying to put it. My memory bank is very, very small. But you might want to put that. 1 John 2:19. And John says, those who went out from among us was never of us. Think about that. Those who went out from among us was never of us. That can be extremely, as far as I'm concerned, encouraging. Because if they were among us and they did know from what God says, their end is not very good. But if they weren't and didn't know and didn't understand, when God opened their mind to understand, then there may be a difference. That's a long scripture. Put there by one who, quote unquote, Jesus loved. He loved them all. And John was better known as the apostle of love. That's interesting. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word patience there is the same word for long suffering. And as we, as a family, those whom God has called, follow each other in what is right. As Paul said back in the book of Philippians, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. And of course, we're to follow Christ too. Absolutely, without a doubt. That's what we're called to do. James chapter 5, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord. The word prophet there can mean minister. Those who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. I can tell you, from some of the ministers I've known, they have suffered affliction. Yes, they have. They have suffered pain. Some of them have, just like us, gone through the same problems we've gone through. But they are the ministers of God, and God has called them, and they patiently stayed in there and hang on there. Some of them 25, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60 years. Still doing God's will. Has not been an easy path for the ministry, brethren. It really hasn't. That's how come we should make sure we pray for our ministry. Try to do it daily. Those local here and those worldwide. They have a mighty job to do, and we are part of that responsibility. So the rest of the world. So pray for them. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved out of all the people who lived from the time of Adam and Eve until Noah, at one, just about 1,000 years, out of all those sons and daughters whom God wanted to have as his children. And he suffered through all that, and only eight of them survived. So God is long-suffering, but it's positive, because all of those people, whatever numbers they were, are going to be resurrected, and they're going to have the opportunity to be in the family of God and to be children of God. They are not lost. We'll go on some more, but I'm going to go back to Galatians 5 and the key accounts in verse 22. And we see there the long suffering is surrounded by mercy, goodness, and above all, not above all, but tremendously important, forgiveness of sin and iniquity. That's what we're to be, brethren. That's what God has called us to do. To be long-suffering. Let us to have mercy toward each other and toward the world. Let us be gracious toward each other and toward the world. Let us be good toward each other and toward the world. That's what long-suffering is talking about. That's how come it's on the right side of the T account. And it started off talking about joy. And if we obey God and be long-suffering and grow in goodness and mercy and kindness and all those, we are going to be some joyful people when Christ returns and we shall be there with him to bring long-suffering to the rest of the world who will be alive at that time.